And Father, we do ask that by the power of your Holy Spirit, you will enable us to be able to grasp how deep, wide, long, and high is the love that Christ has for us. Enable us to see you in your Son, to see your love in your Son. When you're on that cross, that we can see your love being expressed through what your Son Jesus, our Savior, did in his death. May we see your love made known in your Son's resurrection and the finished work of the cross of Jesus, your acceptance, the open heavens for us to have, to come home and to know you as our Father. And our heart, our desires for our communities that you've placed us in, we want our communities to have a revelation of you as a good, good Father. We want our communities to be able to experience your fatherhood and to live loved by you. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Great. Okay, we got a few scriptures this morning that we're going to continue where we've left off. And in Colossians chapter 1, chapter 3, we'll get there. The first few verses. Since then we have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on earthly things, for you died and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory. And let me just go down to verse 10. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off the old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in the knowledge of the image of its creator. And that's what's taking place over here. So straight away, as we've been going on, I trust that you have been applying this, where you are filling your mind with heavenly realities, particularly at this time as the Holy Spirit speaking about the fatherhood of God, that you are filling your mind with the reality of you have a heavenly Father, who he is. I hope you are filling your mind and your hearts with that reality, because the Spirit of revelation, the Spirit of truth and revelation, is working within us so that we are getting a revelation of the reality of God and who we are as a new creation in Christ Jesus. And so it's very important for us to spend the time to fill our thoughts, to fill our minds, to fill our emotions, to fill every part of our being with the truth of what the Holy Spirit is sharing. And that's how we live in that truth, and it starts to really bear fruit in our lives. So that's what we've been practicing, and that's when the truth gets established inside. Otherwise, it just stays sort of on a sort of very low level. It's more intellectual. But when the Spirit of God reveals to our spirit the truth about who Jesus is and the revelation of the Father and his Son, and we meditate on that there, that's when it gets established. And when it's established, we bear the fruit. That's when it starts to bear fruit, and we start to live being loved by our Father. Okay, and so that's why the enemy blinds the minds of the unbeliever, that they cannot see the glorious God the Father in the face of Jesus Christ. And praise God for his power that it works and speaks to the spirit, the soul dimension of mankind. So we've been looking at that, and then in Ephesians chapter 3, let me just quickly read that, and then we're going to go into John again. But in Ephesians chapter 3, we started this off a few weeks back, where Paul is praying for, again, the family of God. And he goes on and he says in verse 14, "For this reason I kneel before the Father, from whom his whole family in heaven and on earth derives its name. And if you can recall, we looked at that because every family on this earth derives its fatherhood from God himself. So the families flow out of the fatherhood of God. And that is why you will find that from creation, God created Adam and Eve, filled the earth as family. And we notice over there, what was the first thing? Satan comes and he deceives Eve and Adam, and they obey. What takes place? The family relationship is broken. The first thing that takes place, they start blaming one another. The family relationship is broken. They're not living in the reality of the Father's love anymore. There's been a distance now. Sin has come in the picture. And because of sin in the picture, that fallen nature, we start to become self-centered and we start to blame. So they start blaming. Soon after that there, the first murder takes place between the two brothers. And history shows us the reality of a fallen family that is separated from the fatherhood of God. And the very purpose of God, the very purpose of Jesus saying, Father, those bulls and those sacrifices, that doesn't bring you to light. Here I am. I've come to do your will. Send me. The very reason for Jesus coming to this earth, so that you and I, that humanity once again could come back to be loved by our Heavenly Father. And that's the good news of God. Through His Son, He's reconciling us back to Himself, that we can once again live as family of God. And that's why we are called children of God. Okay, so that's in a nutshell the heartbeat of God. So when we pray in the name of Jesus, what are we praying? You see, when we pray in the name of Jesus, that's exactly, it is in Jesus' heart for all humanity to come through Him to the Father. So when we're praying in His name, that's the motive that we are going to ask God today to really work within us, so that when we're praying for whatever it is in the name of Jesus, we have the same motive as Jesus has, because we're praying in His name. And Jesus had a motive, and that was to bring us to the Father. Okay. And that will clear up our prayers from all the stuff, why aren't our prayers being answered and so forth. When we begin to understand the motive of Jesus, you cannot pray in the name of Jesus and not have the same motive as Jesus. Okay. And that is why being a new creation is so important. And so here we see, as we saw over there in Ephesians 3, for this reason I kneel before the Father, from whom His whole family in heaven and earth derives its name. And then it carries on, that we may know this love, that we may be filled with the fullness of God. In other words, that you and I may be filled with the fullness of the reality of fatherhood, God the Father, living within us by the Holy Spirit. In Ephesians 1, I want to just read this prayer. And why I like the prayers that Paul prays, because he's apostolic. And part of the apostolic is to lay the foundation upon Jesus Christ. And so he's dealing with a tradition, with culture, with belief systems that has come through ages and ages and ages since Adam and Eve fell. And so there's a philosophy, there's all this kind of stuff of what family is all about, et cetera, what fatherhood is all about. And so Paul is now praying that we will now once again know that we are children of God. He's our Heavenly Father. And so we are being established and rooted in Jesus Christ and the reality of His love. And that's the power, that's the reality of the apostolic ministry, is to break down wrong foundations and have Christ as the foundation, and then one is being built and established in Jesus. And that's the key for family. And he goes on and he says over here, for this reason, ever since I've heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, I've not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. I keep asking the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. And that's what we pray. I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and his incomparable great power for us who believe. Now, what's this glorious inheritance that's in us? See, Jesus is the mystery. Jesus is the glory of God. This glorious inheritance that you and I have as believers is God himself within us. That's the glorious inheritance. We're not waiting to die to receive an inheritance. You see, when God said to the Israelites, I'm giving you inheritance, that promised land, they lived in the inheritance. Okay? You and I now, through Christ Jesus, we now receive the inheritance, God dwelling within us. We now live and we partake in that. And that's why for the Holy Spirit's power to enable us to have our hearts, the eyes of our hearts open, that we can really begin to see this is, we have the inheritance, God the Father dwelling within us. That's life changing. As that becomes our reality. That is when we really start to step into a deeper dimension, deeper reality of what it means to be loved by the Father. Because now you have realized, but Father, by the Holy Spirit, and when Jesus said, I'm going to the Father, and I'm going to ask the Father for the Holy Spirit, and when the Holy Spirit comes, and you receive the Holy Spirit, you will know. Not intellectually, you will know, yeah, inside of you, that I'm in the Father, and the Father is in me, and you are in me. And you will know that the Father and I will come and make our dwelling within you. See, this is the inheritance that you and I have. Profound. This is the inheritance that he's praying that we will be established in this, rooted and established in this reality. That's the rock. So when things are taking place, we are not shattered. We are firmly established in the fatherhood of God. Our glorious inheritance. And this is what Satan keeps people from being blinded, from knowing this inheritance. So many, many believers, many of us, we're living as a Christian life, not really being established and growing in this reality of the true inheritance within us, the fatherhood of God, who he is, living within us. So we battle, we insecure, we go through all these things in life. Now we carry on, and he says over here, and God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. Isn't that profound? So when we start to have the eyes open and we realize, but God, you are the inheritance within us. That means your fullness, the fullness of your fatherhood is within us. Can you imagine a body of Christ in a community that's living in the reality of this? Can you imagine that the Father is glorified through us as his family in living life in a community? Can you imagine when Jesus says, whatever you ask in my name, the Father, I will do it so that the Father is glorified. So here we see there that we as the body, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. And here we begin to see an incredible truth where we now, as we're learning now what it is to pray in the name of Jesus, we're learning what it is now to know that the Father's fullness is within us. And now, as we now begin to minister in the name of Jesus, the community can experience the revelation of who the Father is through our lives. In the name of Jesus. That's why Jesus, Paul writes, that whatever we do and whatever we say, we do it in his name. What's the motive of Jesus? You see, I think today is a day where there's a grace to set us free from false expectations. what was Jesus' motive? You know, throughout, from the time when Adam and Eve sinned, God came and gave them the promise about a promised seed. So right from that very moment, the promise of a Savior, the promise of a Messiah, the promise of a Redeemer came into the life of the race. And then there was Abraham. There's going to be a seed, going to be a blessing to all nations. And right through for hundreds and hundreds of years before the birth of Jesus, there was the prophetic voice speaking about the coming Messiah. And so everybody had an opinion. Everybody had their own expectations of who this promised Messiah is going to be. Even his own disciples. When are you going to restore the kingdom? You see, they had their own expectations. The Jesus minister filling their expectations, or was Jesus' motive, Father, I love you, and I've come to do your will. See, as I meditate on this, I'm battling to find expectations in this love of the Father and the Son. I just somehow can't see it there. Because so often you and I, we're doing stuff because it's expected of us to do it. It's not because we love. It's because it's expected. So often we are doing stuff, you know, because culture expects us to live like this or do this. The people expect believers to behave like this. You know, tradition expects us to behave like this. And all the time, all we're doing is we're living to please expectations. And the Holy Spirit is saying, no, I want to set us free. All free from this living life based on other people's expectations. Because you're not living. You're living their expectations. That's not the quality of life that He has given to you and I. And so now the Holy Spirit is showing us, no, 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 no. You look at the relationship with the Father and the Son and you see everything. Everything is so on a selfless love. I don't see expectations in there. I don't see Jesus thinking, man, the Father's expecting me now to be able to behave like this. No. Jesus, everything about Jesus was based on, Father, I love you. If you love me, you obey. You see, out of a love relationship, we just do. That's the motive. So love is the motive of Jesus. Jesus is revealing the Father's heart. He's revealing the Father. He's an image of God. So this love that Jesus has with the Father, that's we are seeing, that's the Father's love that He has for His Son. The same love that He has for you and I as His children. That's His motive. So everything that our Father does is not based on if you perform, I'm going to love you. If you perform, I'm going to do this. No. No, no, no. He loves us. But we can live outside of the reality of that love if we are disobeying God. See? Because those who love Him, we obey, and He says He will reveal Himself to us more and more as we walk in this love. So we must stay in His love as we respond just because of a love relationship. Can you imagine? Can you just imagine? Fill your mind with heavenly realities of us as His family living in a community that is not living life based on expectations of religion, what religion expects, what church membership expects, what if you sign these forms, you become a Baptist member and this is what we expect you to live like that. And so if you live like this, you're a true Christian. Hey? Imagine us, the body of Christ, being free of all these expectations and totally living loved by the Father. Totally living loving the Father back. In that freedom, that is where The Holy Spirit is now helping us to be set free so that we will live in the reality of love and not expectations. Let's go practical. Let's go to the marriages. Husband and wife, this is what I expect, and this is what I expect from you. The husband and wife fails to meet up to the expectation. What's happened? Now we've got a problem. Because I expected that and you did not do what I expected. Chuck that away. Now there's love. Out of love, I'm going to do this for you. Total freedom. So now I choose to do this here because I truly love you. Not because I'm expected to do my duty. I truly love you. The other one, the other spouse, I'm not going to cook for you because it's expected. Man, I'm cooking because I truly love you. Total freedom. That's the atmosphere. That's the reality of the family of God. It's very, very real. Expectations cause divorce. Expectations cause conflict. Because who's right, who's wrong? Love doesn't have that stuff in it. Love is totally free from that. Love just wants the best for one another. And that's our Father. He wants the best. So He's dealing with us will always be for our best. Whatever it may be, it's for our best. So, Jesus prays, or He teaches us how to pray, and he says over there in John 14, as we've been looking about this for a while now, where remember Jesus reveals the Father, He's the image of the Father. When we see Jesus, we can see the reality of the Father, and that's why that song, Shine Jesus Shine, it's the revelation of the Father. And He carries on and He says, yeah, I tell you the truth, anyone who has faith in me will be doing what I've been doing. He will do even greater things than these because I'm going to the Father, and I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Son may bring glory to the Father. You may ask me anything in my name and I will do it. What's the motive of Jesus? Father, I want you to be glorified. What's the motive for our prayers? What's the motive for our prayers? Is it really, at the bottom line, is it really, Father, I want you to be glorified as I pray in the name of Jesus? I want you to reveal yourself that I can meet you as the Heavenly Father. Is that really the prayers? Can we pray for Malema? Can we pray for our politicians? Can we pray for the people that have destroyed a nation and caused so much harm to so many, many people living in South Africa? With the motive of God. Hey? We have to, that is why when, go back, when did the start, Jesus, when He began to teach us, when did we die? We cannot pray with this motive if we're still living, if self is still alive, if the power of sin is still alive within us. Cannot pray in the name of Jesus with His motive for everyone to come to meet the Father and be in the family of God. So when we appropriate the fact that I've been crucified with Jesus, I've died, that old man who I am, that self-centered, and that person is no longer me, I'm a new creation in Christ Jesus. Now you have the life of the Holy Spirit, you've got the law of the Holy Spirit of life working within us. Now we can begin to walk with the Spirit, with the fruit of the Spirit is love. You see? So now we begin to walk and keep in step with the Holy Spirit. Only then are we able to start praying with the same motive. Because God starts to deal with motives on why we do things. As a minister, most times one's ministering based on expectations. Because the church is paying, whatever the case may be, so there's expectations. And it's not from the motive of the children of God coming to know the reality of the Father and to know Him and to experience His love. All the time, motive is a big thing that the Holy Spirit is working in all of our lives. So, as we close here in Romans chapter 8. It's an incredible insight to the work of the Holy Spirit in dealing with our own motives. We're going to be praying Danana for miracles. We're going to be praying for folk that you may know that needs a miracle. What's your motive? And that's why we're coming centered, rooted in the reality of that motive of Jesus. He came to make the Father known. And that's why when Jesus says, look at the miracles that I'm doing, all of us is a revelation of my Father. So we want to pray for miracles. We are wanting to start to receive and to walk in the reality of the miracles of Jesus in His name. And He wants us to be established in the fact that every miracle that He wants to do through us, so that the Father will be glorified as we come in the name of Jesus. The glory belongs to the Father, not to us. So we need to be established in this. Otherwise, we will take the glory for ourselves. So now as we're stepping into more of the miraculous now, and that now, that's why as you start to pray all the time, what's my motive for praying? What's really my motive? Is it to make my life better? Is it to make their life better? Is it this, or is it really, Father, that they can know You and know You as the true Father of their lives and experience Your incredible, perfect love in ministering to them? That's where the miracles flow. And that's what we're going to be praying for just now. So Paul writing, and he says, therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life set me free from the law of sin and death. And this is the reality of the new creation, living a life in the Spirit. For what the law was powerless to do, in what that it was weakened by the sinful nature, God did this. This is what God did. How he broke us free from that sinful nature, that power of that sinful nature. God did by sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful man to be a sin offering. And so He condemned sin in sinful man in order that the righteous requirements of the law might be fully met in us who do not live according to the sinful nature but according to the Spirit. Now He goes on, those who live according to the sinful nature have their minds set on what that nature desires. That word desire is the motive. And so a person that is living according to the power of sin operating and just yielding to the cravings of the sinful nature all the time, their motive will always be to please that self. Okay? When it speaks about the mind set, that word set means it's not just the intellect, it's the very being. That word is I am. My existence. My existence. That's what it's saying over there. My whole existence is simply to satisfy this craving of the self-centered nature. That's it. I don't want anything to do with God. See, that's the motive in the unsaved. And if a child of God is living not in the Spirit, but is walking in the flesh, that will be your motive. And there's a conflict because the Spirit is saying no, and because one hasn't appropriated the fact that you've died, and then you're wanting to gratify the sinful nature, there's a conflict and you're not a happy person. Okay, that's why you'll find many Christians aren't happy people, because they're torn between who they really are in Christ Jesus, and they're still trying to live that they've actually died, that they're trying to carry this dead body around with them all the time. And so we have the message that we must share. And so he says, over those who live according to the sinful nature have their minds set on what the nature, but this is you and I. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. And that's the Holy Spirit. What did the Holy Spirit desire? What's the Holy Spirit's motive? See, all the time is to reveal the Father, to reveal the Son. All the time is to help us to grow into the knowledge of who we really are as a new creation in Christ Jesus. The Holy Spirit's desire is the same as the Father. When God says, I'm patient, I desire for all of humanity to come to know me. That's the Holy Spirit's desire. The Holy Spirit's desire is to take what Jesus has already done and make it known to humanity. So now as believers, we're praying in His name, as we yield to the Holy Spirit, what's taking place? Our desire, our motive is connected to the Holy Spirit. So our thoughts, who we really are, we are a new creation in Christ. Now we are thinking, set our minds on things above, set our hearts on things above, because we've been raised with Christ. Now we're living in that reality, and our motives become one with the Holy Spirit. When you pray in the name of Jesus, the prayers are answered. We've seen that. We've seen recently, time and time again, where we as folk grasp hold of this, they will pray a prayer, and within a couple of days they will see a miracle before their very eyes. And they've been praying for years and years and nothing's happened. But since they begin to understand this reality, suddenly they just start to see, wow, God, you're real. Why? Because now they are seeing the reality that in the name of Jesus, they are experiencing the fatherhood of God in people's lives. Jesus came to bring us to the Father. When you pray in His name, is to bring us to the Father. It's for us to know the Father. And not the father of lies, the enemy. So, what's your miracle that you're seeking today? Hey, what's Jesus' motive in going to answer that prayer? He wants them to know how real God the Father is. His Father and our Father. They may be totally lost and saved. When we pray in His name, knowing that it's so that they can come to know the Father. He said He will do whatever we ask in His name, so that the Father is made known. The Father is glorified. The Father is manifested. The Father is revealed. You go to families that are broken, and in that, when you pray in the name of Jesus, it's for that family to come to know the Father's love, to experience what it is to be loved by God the Father, what it is to be a child of God. When you pray for believers, you pray in the name of Jesus, so that as believers we may know our Heavenly Father more and more, and live more loved by Him than we've ever lived before. We live loved by Him, as I said, we will truly live loving people. We love because He first loved us, and we will truly love living. So the question is, are we loving living? Is it a delight to live amongst all the pain and the agony that we go through and face all the day? Let us know the Father's love. Amen. Oh. Spend a few moments in just thinking of a miracle that you are wanting to pray in the name of Jesus and ask the Father. Paul writes here, now to Him is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to His power that is at work within us. To Him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations. And it's now, we're at the time now where the Father is going to be glorified in the church, because it's no longer we who live, but Christ who lives in us. And the Father is going to be glorified as we as a church come in the name of Jesus, that the Father will be glorified in the name of Jesus, as Jesus says He will do what we ask in His name. What an incredible union that we have with our Lord Jesus, in both of us making sure that our Father's name is hallowed and glorified and revealed. That's our prayer. So spend a few moments there, and then just pray for the miracle that you're asking for in His name, knowing that the Father wants to make Himself known to that person. There's Nyani's mother that needs a miracle. Nyani's family needs a miracle. A great miracle is for them to know the reality of a good, good Father. Father, we come again and we want to thank you that you are our Heavenly Father. And we ask within the body of Christ that for the spirit of wisdom and revelation that we may know you better. That we may be able to grasp this glorious inheritance, your inheritance in us, you yourself. And we thank you for that. We come now and we lift our own families. And each and every one of us, our families, distant families, or whoever, we ask, Father, in the name of Jesus, that by your Holy Spirit you will work and draw and just give truth to who you are. Make you a reality. So your blood, Jesus, is powerful. And right now we give a declaration and we save families. The blood of Jesus breaks every chain. Be loosed in the name of Jesus. The power of the blood that has redeemed you out of religion, that's redeemed you out of culture, that's redeemed you out of tradition, that's redeemed you out of education, that's redeemed you out of philosophies, that's redeemed you out of all this stuff. By the power of the blood of Christ, and you have been brought into the kingdom of God, into the family of God. We live in that reality. That's our home. In Jesus' name. Father, we want to ask, as we lift up the reality of our communities that we stay in, and now we ask for the work of your Holy Spirit to bring about a truth of who you really are in your Son, Jesus Christ. What a revelation. So we just speak and we say in Jesus' name, Holy Spirit, Spirit of truth and revelation, wisdom and insight, knowledge and understanding, the fear of the Lord. We receive your ministry in the lives of the people living in our communities. Awaken them up to the truth found in Jesus Christ. And so we declare in Jesus' name, harvest the souls, come and awaken and respond to the call of the Holy Spirit. Come to Jesus. But yeah, Lord God, we, as your co-heirs, to be one with you, Jesus, to be involved in testifying, to be involved in ministry, to be involved in praying, to be involved with the same motive of yours, that whatever we do, it's so that people can experience. So today I'm asking, particularly in marriages, that there will be such a breakthrough that each and every one in the home will be able to live in the reality of what it is to be a new creation in Christ Jesus, free from the power of self. And I thank you for that. And this I'm asking in Jesus' name, as we prayed for Nyani's mother, thank you. As your Father, in the name of Jesus, for a miracle of healing. And so Nyani's mom, be healed right now in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You know the great joy and the freedom as we are set free from expectation. Try practice this. Spend time with the Father or Son. Spend that time with God. And just as Jesus he would, Father, what's on your heart today? What are you wanting to do? Here I am, to be one with you in what you're wanting to do. See, if we are living a self-centered life, you can't do that, because self always looks for the easy way out. Self will always look for the comfort zone. So, but when you and I say, Lord, Father, today, I know you're up to something. Here I am to do whatever you wanted to do. And you're yielding and you're making yourself available. You will find such an incredible, fruitful life. And that, because now you're involved with the Father's business, making the Father known. That's what life's really about. Just to do that. Here I am today, Father. And you will see how divine things work out and connections and that there. The battle will be to get off our bums. The battle will be to get out of our self-centeredness of I can't do this and now maybe not. That's the battle. And that, but when that battle rises up, we've got the truth. You're dead. I'm a new creation. I don't have to serve that battle. Here I am, Lord, to do your will. And you step into the power of grace. You step into the power of the Holy Spirit to enable you to do what the Father is sharing that he wants to do. Okay, that's the freedom. Tremendous freedom over there. Tremendous joy. Amen.